Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Believe in Hornets podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. My name is Sam. Muggsy's with me. Muggsy, how are you?
Hello, my friend. How's it going?
Hey, things are going pretty well. Very exciting day in the NBA. A lot of stuff going on. A lot of news to talk about.
Yes.
We're going to get to it all. I know it's a Hornets podcast. We're going to talk about the Hornets, how they got out and what they did on deadline day. But I feel like we should talk about the rest of the league first, and then we can focus on the rest of the Hornets, on the Hornets for the rest of the show. So for y'all out there listening, we're going to talk trade deadline, ins and outs. We're going to talk Hornets trade, the Hornets trade today, and then as well as LaMelo's injury and how the team shapes up for the rest of the way. There's like 30 or so games left, rest of the season. Yeah. Hornets are looking pretty good. Looking pretty good right now. So they can keep it up.
Yeah.
But Muggsy, just first off, from a player's point of view, I've only experienced trade deadline day as a fan. What's it like for a player? Like the rumors, the uncertainty. Can you talk about how that day is from a player's point of view?
Yeah, I mean, from a player perspective, I mean, of course, rumors is going to be out there, and if your name is constantly in those rumors, you know about it, you hear about it, and it's just a matter of just continuing to be a professional because it's out of your control. Some folks do have control more than others, you know, as we witnessed what happened to Harden early on during the season, being able to you know, force his way out. But for the most part, you have no control. You just got to just go what you know best is just maintaining, you know, your standing because it's out of your control. And the players, they understand that. But again, it's an unstressed time, especially when if you don't want to be moved.
Allow me a second to thank one of our sponsors, BetOnline. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. March Madness is upon us. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. I want to talk about Vucevic. That is, for me, is the big dog of this trade deadline. A guy that a lot of Hornets fans were very interested in, given the position he plays and his skill set. What do you make of the Bulls really going for it and making a move for Vucevic, pairing him with Zach LaVine?
Excellent move with Chicago. I didn't know he was on the move. I didn't know he was out there. He was available. And I know that the Hornets kind of had their eye on him. And I hoped that they would have kind of pulled that trick. But unfortunately, something didn't materialize and it didn't work out with us, with the Hornets, I should say. So, you know, Chicago, you know, they're right there with a game out of. They might be in eighth place sitting right there with a game out of.
So the Bulls are in 10th place right now.
10th place.
They're three wins away from where the Hornets are in fourth. Like, it's real close.
That's how tight the East is. And so making a move like that will definitely put them over the edge. He's definitely giving that inside presence. He can score. He plays both ends of the floor. And with an exciting player like Zach LaVine, I mean, that just really adds to the fire. So it's a good move by Chicago.
Yeah, Billy Donovan must be super psyched right now with this front office. They just added an two-time All-Star to pair with a good. The Bulls have a lot of young players that they parted yes. with as well to make the deal happen and gave away some future first-round picks. It was looking like they were going to end the day with Lonzo Ball as well. That trade didn't materialize. So, like, for the majority of the day, people were like, oh, man, if the Bulls end up with LaVine, Vooch, and Lonzo Ball, that all of a sudden is a three that can be really dangerous in the Eastern Conference. It didn't work out, but all in all, the Bulls really went for it. And I think they knocked it out of the park. I respect the intent. That, like, it's a letter of intent to the rest of the league. Like, hey, we're in this. We're coming after this still. Like, so they're right behind the Pacers, the Celtics, the Hawks, the Knicks, the Heat in that order, and then the Hornets right there. So, like, those teams ahead of them need to watch out.
Absolutely. I mean, here it is. Who would think that the Celtics would be sitting in the eighth spot, you know, at this juncture in the season? And it goes to show that, you know, they needed help too. They made a move as well and bringing in Fournier. So, that's what the lead is doing. Everybody trying to find a piece that can get them over to that next level. Get them over that hurdle. Hornets made the move by, you know, Melo being out and bringing in Wanamaker. So everybody's out there trying to see how they can better their team. Rondo going to the Clippers, which is an excellent move for them. So it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, I'd be remiss to not mention the Nuggets trading for Aaron Gordon and JaVale McGee. That Nuggets team, we saw them in the season. They started off the losing streak the Hornets went on, which well-deserved. That Nuggets team is really nice. Jokic is a monster. And they were able to add Aaron Gordon and JaVale McGee without giving up any of their core pieces in Michael Porter Jr. Obviously, I'm blanking on the
point. They had Harris.
Yeah, Gary Harris is a loss for sure.
Yeah.
But they really – like leveled up because like they had Jeremy Grant last year, who's a major role player for them, and they had no real replacement for him. And now I think they've leveled up a little bit with Aaron Gordon being in the mix. And JaVale McGee played there, very athletic. He's won with the Lakers. What do you make of the Nuggets move? Because for them, they're sitting in the fifth spot in the West, a very tough battle to get up into the higher part of the standings. Like they're in fifth place in the West. They're 26 wins. Two wins away from the Suns, who are in second place in the West. The Jazz are kind of run away with it. But how do you make out of the trade deadline for Denver Nuggets?
A move they had to make. I mean, a move they tremendously had to make. Losing Grant was a big deal for them because they lost that big wing, that big body presence to play those bigger wing guys. You know, you got, you know, even though you got Porter and as well as, you know, on the wing. Murray. Yeah. Right, as well as Will Barton, but those guys were kind of small. You know, Millsap was kind of up there now, you know, more of a veteran in his league. Mm-hmm. And bringing in a young guy like Aaron Gordon just uplift them. And, you know, I guess that might move Millsap to the bench and have him coming off the bench. And it's where they will kind of regenerize that starting five because they got some power with, you know, the Joker and then having Mary and now Ed Gordon. You know, along with the young, you know, with Porter, I mean, that could be really, really scary. You know, like I say, great move by the Nuggets. I think they understand what position they needed to go in, and they made that move. You know, giving up Harris was definitely, you know, will be, you know, hurt in some regards because he's a three-point shooter. But I think they add a lot because Aaron can hit the three ball as well.
Joining the podcast now is Rod Boone, a veteran NBA writer. He's the author, creator of the Hive Vibes newsletter. Rod, how you doing?
I'm doing great today. How you doing, Sam?
I'm doing well. I'm glad you can kick it with us and hop on the podcast. And it's a fun day to do it, you know? It's a very big day.
Absolutely. Trade deadline day, man. A lot of madness happening. You know, the Hornets didn't do too much, but I think it was expected because – the team they have right now, and with them not trying to get rid of the assets for the future, you didn't think they would go out there and try to do anything crazy. So knowing Mitch Kupchak, he kind of plays his hand the way he usually does.
Yeah, so basically the Hornets have left deadline day with Brad Wanamaker, a veteran point guard. Well, is veteran fair? Like, it's a weird one. He's a lot of experience, right? He's played overseas. Probably three seasons in the NBA, but, you know, established professional player at the very least, right? Can you talk about that deal and what that would bring to the Hornets?
I guess if anything else, it gives them depth, obviously, the position, because even though they have a lot of guards, with LaMelo getting injured and him probably being out for the season the way it looks right now, the Hornets are going to be a playoff team. You have to be able to have depth at the position. So I guess they figured the number was good for them. Whatever they had to get to acquire him wasn't too much, it looks like. So I guess from the Hornets' perspective, it's just insurance policy to just make sure you're protected in case something else happens injury-wise.
That all makes sense. I'm quite sure that's what Mitch and I probably was thinking. I was, my thinking, of course, with Melo going down, I know they needed it was a need in that area, along with Devontae coming back and being able to have him in the lineup and still having somebody able to come off the bench to give him and relieve him at, during some point of time. But I thought they probably would address the center position in some kind of regards to, because of the nature of where they are and what they are have been doing thus far. No discredit from Cody or Bismack, what they've done thus far. But I think in terms of the rim protection, getting into that early transition game, what they love to do, especially with a guy like Melo, would have been a concern or been an interest.
I agree with you there, Muggsy, because the Hornets, let's be honest, again, Cody and Bismack are two really good guys, man, but they don't fill the need in terms of trying to be a playoff team. They said to be up-tempo, play the point guard in the pick and roll, because you have to have those nice, soft hands as a big man with LaMelo Ball. He passes the ball like most point guards, when sometimes we're even watching the ball coming, just making sure you're going to have it in your hands. You got to have your hands at all times ready. And if you don't have great hands as a center, it's not going to work for you. So I agree. I thought they would address that position. But knowing Miss Kupchak, the asking price is probably too high for his liking. They may have said, I want a first-round draft pick, or give me 2 second-round draft picks. So knowing him, he probably said, you know what? I don't want to do that because I want to protect my assets for the future. But I agree with you. I think they probably should have if the price was right, though.
But I know they had a lot of assets to offer anyone, with Malik Monk and as well as Devontae Graham, his situation, so forth. But me and knowing Mitch, I'd see where he was looking and where he really paid the really true concerns and addressed that issue with Melo being out and not having, uncertainty not being able to come back, especially with this run that they're on. I think a guy like Watermaker really, really feels that need and gives Devontae that cushion to be able to go out there and continue to be the player that he is.
Here's something you may not know about me. I don't relax well. Things in life can get crazy. It can be hard to shut the brain off and chill. I tend to overthink. I get easily stressed out. It's not great. So I did my homework and found Sunday Scaries, which are delicious and vitamin-boosted CBD gummies. They become a must-have in the daily routine, and they chill me out in just about 20 minutes. Basically, they help me take the edge off so I can maintain my composure and live scare-free. And there's no risk to buy. The company offers a 100% lifetime money back guarantee. If the product's not for you, that's okay. You'll get your money back. Sunday Scaries is in the stress relieving business, not the stress causing business. I got you 25% off to prove it. Visit SundayScaries.com. Use the promo code BELIEV, BLEAV, for your discount. That's promo code BELIEV for 25% off at SundayScaries.com. They're amazing, and you won't regret joining their squad. People talking to me about, they're bummed out that he's a point guard, another guard, an older player. He'll be the oldest player on the team when he joins up. It's not very exciting, but for Hornets fans, I would say, look at the bigger picture. The team's playing very well, and you have to balance that risk versus reward, right? You bring a new player in, you're at risking, and you're trading players out, you're risking disrupting the chemistry of the team. Because the team is performing well. What if you make a trade and the team dips and it doesn't work out? And so I'm pretty okay as a Hornets fan with the Hornets not making that big move, because realistically, what move could they make to really make an impact now? The Nets are too far gone, right? The Sixers are too far gone. The West is a whole different story. So I'm kind of cool with the Hornets kind of standing pat, playing the long game And hopefully, you know, the offseason's coming up. Maybe they can do something then. And I don't, Rod, is there anything you think the Hornets will address in the offseason, that center position? Like a guy like Rashawn Holmes, maybe he'll be a free agent. Drummond will be out there as a free agent. Is there anything you're thinking the Hornets can like pull the trigger on maybe to fortify the center position this summer?
I mean, they're definitely going to have to address it because it's a need. Bismack Biyombo came back on a one-year deal. You know, Cody is up. So you have to kind of find a way to get younger and athletic at that position. So I can see him going out and looking at the free agent market and see if they can find somebody in that route. But it could also be the draft. They may say our first-round draft pick this year may be a big man who we know we can definitely groom, who can be somebody we can count on for years to come. So I definitely see them just in that position for sure. Do you mention like, you know, like Malik Monk, like what do you do with him? You know, you're going to resign him. He's obviously a restricted free agent. So you kind of can match things if he goes out there and gets different deals. But what number is he at? Like what value do you see in Malik Monk right now? So I think that's also part of the reason why he probably was not traded, because with LaMelo getting hurt, now you have a small numbers on your bench. Malik Monk's role has increased now to be more of a sixth, seventh man type of guy. So if you got rid of him potentially for somebody else, you know, how would you kind of fix that hole? So I think they have decisions to make for sure this offseason. But to me, top of the list is finding a big man to kind of pair with Melo to kind of help complement his game out there on the floor.
Well, I'm going to throw a name out there for you. What about John Collins?
I like it.
Does he fit into the budget? As you know, Muggsy, it always comes down to economics.
Well, that's what it's gonna have to be. You're gonna have to pay in order to, you know, put yourself in this situation in order to get those type of players like that. So that's just a name I just threw out there, you know, a conversation that we've been having, you know, behind the scenes. And I think a guy like that, along with the core that we have, and I'm a Malik fan. You know, I love Malik and I love what he's done. And I believe Malik is going to go out and be a really, really, you know, solid player going forward. What that cost may be, who knows? You know, but that's a decision they're going to have to make. But a guy that's out there that piques my interest, you know, is a John Collins.
And for me, I would love Miles Turner, not going to lie. He's 24 years old. Yeah, he's 24 years old. He can block.
I love John Collins.
What's that?
How old is John Collins?
Is he 21?
20. He's 20, what, 24? 24?
John, he's younger than Miles Turner, right?
So he's younger than Miles Turner. And he's 23. And a more explosive player than Miles Turner. He brings more to the table in terms of inside, outside, both ends of the floor.
Now, that would be an interesting move because obviously he's playing for the Hawks. So that's a division rival. So you know how that goes. Like, you go to a division rival, right? Like, how does that work?
Well, they let him become a free agent at the end of the season. So obviously something there wasn't there, you know, in terms of them letting him be in this position. So that's interesting to me.
It seemed there's some reports about him having some friction with Trae Young. I don't think that relationship is like ruined or anything like that. Maybe they can rectify it, figure that stuff out. Because since Nate McMillan's been in there, they've been winning. They've been winning a lot of games. They had like an 8-game win streak at one point, right? Before they lost the last two.
They're one of the highest teams in the league right now, man.
They were. Lost to Sacramento last night, which is sad. A sad thing. But
yeah. So, you know, for Hornets fans out there that were maybe disappointed in the trade deadline, specifically March 25th, it's not the end of the world. There's a whole off season ahead of us, right? And the whole next season to figure stuff out. And you might have to restrict the free agents like Malik, maybe this sign and trade possibilities as well. Like there's tools to leverage to help round the roster out looking into next year.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes as fans, they kind of get caught up in the trade deadline itself saying, oh, well, if we don't make that move by X date, we can improve our team. So as you mentioned, there's two ways to improve the team from now until, you know, to basically offseason. That's first the buyout market. You hope you can find somebody who maybe another team didn't think was helping them out. They want to go a different direction and you find them and give them some playing time and have them come help you out. But you're right. The other way is to just say, okay, come to the offseason, we're going to basically regroup and reset our market because You'll see trades come draft night. And we know how that works because yeah. teams are trying to essentially get ready for the next fiscal year in the NBA. So I can see the Hornets essentially saying, you know what, all right, the pieces we have right now, they're good, but if we want to get to the next level, we got to take some of them and kind of figure out how to move a piece or two and bring back something back in return, as you're saying. So I can see them making a trade or two in the offseason. The players you mentioned, I mean, even Terry Rozier, even one. Terry Rozier being the final year of his contract next year. Remember, people thought he was overpaid. Yeah. He was getting that big contract, and fans were up in arms. Well, now he's actually one of the most valuable players on the team on the roster. So he could bring you back value if you foresee yourself building around LaMelo and Devontae instead of throwing Terry in there. So I could see him going a number of ways this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, Devontae and Melo, I mean, that's, you know, that's point guards. Terry Rozier brings a whole dynamic to the ballgame, which they really need a guy like that, you know, in terms of being able to create his own shot, take the pressure off of those guys. And the familiarity of him and Gordon Haywood has been really stellar in terms of seeing the connection them two having. So, and that's something that they're going to have to address about Rozier, because a guy like him, he really, and he's a vet. He's understanding. He's been around it. And for a guy like that to be around a guy like Melo, which Melo loves playing with him, you can tell, you know, the joy that they have out there. It creates that chemistry and it builds that core that they have. And it'd be sad to see that kind of, you know, go away so early, where you can kind of explore that and add on to that to be able to be the team that you're trying to be.
Right. I think the problem, as you would know, playing the NBA as you did, is size. It's like, but, you know, obviously Melo's a tall guy back then.
There you go.
But we have Devontae and Terry a lot of time in the same backcourt. When you get to the playoff rounds, it may work regular season time. The playoff time is different. They start game planning for you a little bit harder. They throw different looks at you that you probably haven't seen all year. And if you don't have that ability to kind of make sure that you're beating your man off the dribble with different ways, because your stature isn't the same as the opponent, then it could be a difficult thing for him. So I think long-term for him, it doesn't work. But for right now, it's been absolutely, you know, goal for him this season.
Yeah, and I get your point to that. But you look at the guards, they're not big guards in the NBA no more. Two guards are not big guards anymore. The same thing you look around with Portland and Miami. I mean, you can look around the league, you know, even with up in Boston, you know, with Kemba, but you got the two wing guys. But you got Marcus Smart, Kemba Walker. So, you know, you see, it's always small ball out there, but it's the way how they play. Mm-hmm. And I think with Haywood, that's the X factor for me. With Haywood and Melo having the size, and this is down the road for me, you know, this is down the road in terms of next year possibly, because Melo is out, with them being able to, you know, utilize that core, because I hate to see when you have your core, you start descending, going other places and trying to fit. And then all of a sudden, that's not your core anymore. You know, the PJ and Miles Bridges, I see that the core, the three core right now with LaMelo, Miles, and PJ, and Rozier, and as well as Haywood, the X factors on the outside. And Malik, you know, that's up in the air. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's the main of how they got to try to keep those guys together.
Right. To me, it's going to be about the bench as well for next year. It's like, how do you address the bench to get them to the level you want to be able to play to? Because you mentioned Malik is obviously an X factor. You got to figure out what to do with him. But then if you don't bring him back, then where is the scoring coming from? You know, you got to figure that situation out. So they have decisions to make. I mean, but they're good decisions. Let's think about it.
Yeah.
For the last few years, things have been like, man, we can't do anything. We're stuck in cap heck. We can't get out of this thing because we have these – large contracts, but now they're coming off the books one by one, and you can see, you know, just light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. You can see the team trying to be able to come out here and make some different moves. So I think, the core is there. Now it's about just figuring out how do you put the pieces around those guys without essentially messing up your future assets, if at all possible.
Yeah, and, you know, just a crystal ball looking, I think, you know, I hate to say it, but after it's all said and done, I think Devontae going to be the one that's to be, you know, moving elsewhere after, you know, because of LaMelo, you know, because Devontae has grown so much and he has so much to offer, you know, and I think is he on a 2-year deal?
Well, Devontae, this is actually the last year of his contract.
This is last year.
Last year of his contract. So that's what they got to figure out. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So I think at some point, this offseason is going to come down to not saying Terry or Devontae, but it might be some situation where they're trying to figure out which way do we go. We want to play Devontae with LaMelo. We want Terry with LaMelo. And you mentioned age. I mean, even though Terry's more of a vet, younger guy is Devontae. So if you're talking about age and trying to keep guys around the same core age, Devontae's in possibly. So there's no, to me, there's no, I guess, it's hard to tell right now what they're going to do. Because they love Devontae, like they love him. The organization loves him. They built him essentially from the ground up. Old guy being from Raleigh. So for him to leave, to me, it's going to take a lot. But you, as you mentioned with Terry, he's playing out of this world, man. And they love him as well because of his mentality. So how you decide which of those two you want, it's tough.
It's going to come down to the dollars. It's going to come down to the dollars because the two of them, again, you know, Devontae is more of a point. Terry Rozier is more of a two and that aspect of it. So having Melo and Devontae as two point guards, can they make decisions? But, you know, Devontae can score, but it's totally different the way Rozier scored. That's all I was saying.
No, you're right. And just the final point, Terry Rozier is one of the best catch and shoot 3-point guys in the entire league. So that point is what you're trying to drive home here, saying if LaMelo is my point guard, I need somebody in the corner or somewhere waiting for him, the ball to come to his hands, parked, waiting for that shot to come, and just let me just go ahead and drain it if the ball comes to my hands.
Absolutely.
And so we talked about the offseason. What do you guys think the ceiling is for the Hornets this season? The roster is pretty much locked in now. LaMelo, for the most part, is out. You know, they're reassessing after 4 weeks. Who knows? I don't think it's safe to count on him coming back. It's not really fair to count on him to come back with the number of games remaining. But what's the like best case scenario given the current setup of the team, in your opinion? Muggsy, you want to go first?
Oh, okay. I was going to let Rob go.
Okay, Rob, go ahead.
But
I'll switch it up.
Yeah, okay, I'll go. Well, my opinion, you know, is if we can hold serve, you know, right now that we stay in fourth place, I mean, we at home. And the teams that's out there, you know, we're capable. You know, we're really capable of doing something, but it all comes down, and that was with Melo in mind. You know, so it all depends on how Devontae, how these guys continue to direct the ship and continue to keep going out there and playing good basketball. But, you know, if they can get a host a playoff win, you know, getting out the first round going to be challenging, but it's possible, you know. So that's where I'm at right now. I don't know where in terms of where they will be, but I do know that they'll win a game or two in the playoffs.
Well, I agree with Muggsy. I mean, the thing that right now is tough to say because if you look at the standings, the Hornets are in fourth. But I believe like only three or four games separate four from like 10. Yeah, so if you're on a 2-3 game losing streak, you're out of playoffs. You know what I mean? So that to me is what worries me about the Hornets right now is their schedule the second half is really tough, man. They got a lot of tough games coming up here at home. They got to play Phoenix. They got to play Denver. They got to play the Lakers. They got to play the Clippers. I got to play Boston. I'm forgetting teams, I'm sure, that they haven't even played just yet. But they got a tough second-half schedule. So it's hard to say where they're going to finish. Like, I want to say I had to be like 6th or 7th with LaMelo. Now I kind of want to almost lay like about 9th or so because I just feel like the schedule's just so hard. But as Monty said, you just can't tell because the East is so topsy-turvy that they could be good tonight and tomorrow will look like a different team and not be in the playoff hunt. So it's hard, man. But right now, I said the other day, I said they probably will finish 9th. If they put it where they have played without LaMelo, then I can see him finishing like around 7th or 8th. But it's tough to hold serve right now, knowing you're a couple of guys down and you're going to start getting worn down. You play a game almost every other day, essentially, for the next, 2 months.
Totally. Yeah. And that's what makes the Wanamaker deal. So, because the Hornets are one injury away in the backcourt from it being an issue. You know, like there seems to be no plans to get Riller involved right now. So that Wanamaker deal really, just to bring it full circle, really, this is why they did this, basically. If any Hornets fans are really upset that they acquired this guy, it's because we need him. We need the Hornets need the backcourt depth in a bad way. So No, I'm looking forward to it. That starting tomorrow, as we're recording this, 5,000 fans in the building is the new cap. I'm hoping the fans can offer a little bit of energy to the added amount of fans can offer a little more energy to the for the home court advantage as we tough it out the rest of the way.
You would think so. I mean, because listen to the players talk after the games, when they first had the fans come back last homestand, they were really excited just to have their own people back in the stands. Because when they're on the road a couple of times this year, Phoenix, places like that, when you Utah. Have fans in the arena and you kind of hear them cheering for the other team, it kind of gives you that, as Muggsy knows, that passion, man, like the juice start flowing. The competitive nature takes over a little bit there. So when you have fans home cheering for you, they've been waiting to cheer you on all season. I know for a fact the players have said this helped them out. So having 5,000 fans is going to be incredible for the Hornets. And according to Governor Cooper's order, they can have up to 10,000, I guess, at some point, as soon as they really want to. So the Hornets, they're going to be able to make the playoffs, are going to have a good cheering section behind them for the next 2 months plus. Things go their way.
Yeah, I think Governor Cooper increased to 25% of capacity, which were, you know, which we all know that's the sixth man. You know, that's what allow these guys to, you know, feel that extra adrenaline, you know, gives them that to where they know they're good out here, and that's what they all play for. So they was very excited. I'm very sure they was very excited to see, you know, their fans come back in the building and support them. So we definitely going to need that going forward. And again, it's just sad that the fans don't get an opportunity to see Melo, which the excitement was about quite some bit. But they get to see a good team out there, a good hard team that really fights night in and night out. And that's excited within itself. So hopefully they can kind of give them that extra edge, which they always did for us. And I know they're going to be excited, the fans, I should say, as well as the players.
A big thank you to eBay once again for sponsoring the podcast. Whether rare dead stock or the latest release, find the exact shoe you're looking for. As the original sneaker marketplace, eBay is the place to go to cop the pair you've been eyeing. With eBay's authenticity guarantee, your sneakers are meticulously inspected by independent professional authenticators. A team of experienced sneaker authenticators verify the box, the logo, the stitching, and dozens of other inspection points. Each sneaker also receives an authenticity guarantee tag that includes a digital stamp of authenticity, and it also protects sellers with a verified return process. And for sneaker sellers out there, eBay has eliminated selling fees on sneakers $100 and up, making it free to sell or flip your collection. Go to ebay.com/sneakers today. eBay, the world's best destination for discovering great value and unique selection.
The fans all the time, man. Like some of them, you can tell, are like the Melo Ball fans, which is fine. He brought a different crowd in here. But what is your impression of what JB has done so far with Hornets? Because I think the average fan knows this team has been built up for the last 3 years with the help of JB and the coaching staff. But then you have a section of fans here we're saying we're not getting enough. His rotations aren't, you know, consistent. He's playing this guy. What do you think about what JB has done so far in his 3+ seasons here?
I tip my hat off to JB. Coach JB has been a stellar, consistent for the Hornets organization. He's been that staple for those guys. And I love, you know, how he was able to not only create a good culture, but elevate some of these guys' game development. You know, look what Kemba Walker was going through, you know, when he was here. You know, it wasn't just Kemba. That had to do with the people that was around him, you know, and being able to put him in those positions and so forth. And then when that all took place, but, you know, JB has always been able to get the most out of his players. I mean, the offense, it flows. You can see how it flows. And what he's doing this year has been, I think, his best year, mainly because how he's managing these young guys. You know, people don't understand how to manage young guys and how to keep them developing in the right way and not lose them. And what he's done for Miles and then PJ and what he's doing for Melo, as well as Malik, because he didn't lose Monk. You know, he stayed with Malik, even though what Malik went through his situation last year, when he was playing his best basketball, he stuck with Malik. You know, he didn't start off in the rotation early on in the season. But when Malik got his opportunity, Malik took advantage of it, and he stayed with him. You know, so that goes to respect the type of coach and the relationship that he has with his players. And then, again, how he did Melo early on. And I was telling Sam, you know, people were saying, well, why are you taking him out early? Why are they not starting him, you know, throwing him in the fire? You don't want to do that to a young player like that. Even though he was young, age-wise, but in his mind, he has a little more experience by playing overseas, by having that understanding of the game, because the game has truly slowed down for him as a rookie to be this far advanced in the game. And that's what I told everybody, because he's a mixture of a Penny Hardaway and a Jason Kidd. You know, the passing ability, the vision of us, the way we kind of see the floor, but the height-wise with Penny being able to see open, get to the basket. But the pinpoint in terms of how to push the ball, get the ball ahead, you know, and seeing it play before it even take place, you know, that's something that we can't teach, and that's something that we have, and that's what I see within him. And that's why I say that JB has really done a tremendous job by managing him, taking him out early when things were going well, you know, and he didn't have them hiccups when he put them back in when things were going well. So that's what I was loving about. And I shared that with some of the guys at the Hornets organization, how I really, truly saw the way he was kind of bringing this kid along.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because I think some fans saw the exact opposite. As you said, like somebody who knows the game the way you do, JB was doing exactly that. Like, he was trying to make sure he managed the Melo, because as a young player, who's 19 years old, coming to a league full of men, you can't throw him out there and say,
no,
hey, kid, here's the keys and go drive this bus. Because once you do that, you can't get him back from playing his dynamic, because the fans and just it can't happen. Like, once you give him the keys, you can't bring him back. So by not starting him right away, you kind of just took your time and kind of let him ease his way into things. And then when Devontae got hurt, it kind of was forced him to go into the game, even though they kind of were, I think they weren't ready to put him out there just as a starter. But he played so well, you couldn't bring him back and put him back on the bench. So I agree with you. The way they handled LaMelo was fantastic, because it helped him become the player he was before he got injured. If he was out there from the get-go starting, he probably has confidence and wouldn't be the player he was before he got hurt. So I agree with you totally there.
Absolutely. And they're just looking at that at the Melo, but I looked at it as when JB took over and how he'd been able to create a certain culture, and how he able to continue to allow the young players and the guys to grow, you know, and that's what, you know, for me as a player and as a one that knows their game, and I'm quite sure a lot of folks, you know, outside looking in, they can't see that, you know, they can't foresee that because they don't understand it. And that's okay, you know, but as long as everybody involved know the game plan and know what you're doing, and you follow that, which they did, you follow it through, because that's the end result. And that's where he is right now. For him, and this right here is also going to tremendously help him being able to now view the game from the sideline, being able to see it again from having success on the floor, and now witness it from another aspect of it. So everything works in his own way, and everything, you know, happened for his own reason. So, you know, I'm happy in the direction where the Hornets are, as well as where Melo is right
now. Real quick, do you think LaMelo gets Rookie of the Year?
You know what?
I think he played enough games.
Of course, we all had him Rookie of the Year. And I told everybody, this young kid, Edwards, is starting to learn the game. He's starting to understand his game, and it's starting to slow down for him. His kid had 40 points the other night. And his ability to score the basketball is really becoming something impressive. And he reminds me of an aggressive D Wade, you know, in the terms of the skill set. But I still believe, you know, Melo has played enough, but it all depends on now what Edwards, how he finishes it out in a dynamic way. Got to be in a dynamic way. It just can't be, you know, he missed here and there. Got to be in a dynamic way, because Melo showed enough that we're across the board from all stat standpoints that, you know, he deserved that award.
Yeah, I mean, I think he deserves it too. I agree with you. It just depends on if the voters forget about what he's done. Because if Anthony Edwards goes out there, James Wiseman, somebody has a great second half of the season, games that are remaining for them, that's going to be more in the voters' mind and say, you know what, this guy played better than Melo for a longer period of stretch, so I'm going to give him the award. So Melo deserves it, hands down, but, you know, it depends on the voters and just what they think about his injury, if it was enough to kind of give him the award games-wise.
And that's what I'm saying. It depends. These guys got to have a dynamic second half. It can't just be these type of games because, you know, it's going to stand out. You know, and that's why I say, you know, the Wiseman, he really got to have a big, big, big second half in order for that because he went to the bench. And Edwards, you know, he got an opportunity. You know, he got an opportunity. The window is very small, but he got an opportunity because he can really, the second half, if he start putting up those numbers, you know, of course, as you just said, Rob, that's what everybody's going to remember. And that's where everybody's going to go by. But it got to be a fantastic dynamic way because people still got that Melo in their thought process.
Well, Rod, thank you so much for joining us for this podcast. Rod, do you want to plug anything before we say goodbye?
Yeah, my website is High Vibes. You can go to my Twitter feed, which is at Rod Boone, at R-O-D-B-O-O-N-E. I have a link to kind of sign up for the newsletter. It comes right to your inbox as soon as I type the stuff out and hit the send button. So check me out there. Check me out on Twitter, where I'm obviously talking about the game and interviews and stuff like that. So that's pretty much it.
All right, brother. I appreciate it. And Muggsy, as always. Cheers.
Appreciate it, brother.
Take care. Thanks for listening to the Believe in Hornets podcast on the Believe Podcast Network.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick Scented Oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.